Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 27, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 616 of the Biden-Harris administration, 41 days until the 22 midterms. I'm on Instagram. My handle is TheBobSeska. I'm on Twitter. My handle there is BobSeska_go. Don't forget the underscore. And our Patreon page, of course, is BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description, as always. And oh, look, he's sitting right over there. Oh, my God.
Hey, good news.
You said it all.
Oh, man, this is great news. I just found out my hurricane windows get here next month. Just in time, isn't
it?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Hi. He is Bob. I'm Buzz. And a judge has ruled that a transcript of today's show can be used in a criminal investigation. Hurricane Ian, also in the news. I'm right here in the throes of it. It's just outside my door.
Yeah.
Well, Hurricane Ian is approaching Florida from the south, a devastating storm. But meteorologists now believe that Hurricane Ian was formed by a blast of hot air out of Mar-a-Lago.
They better get the rest of the documents out of the basement of Mar-a-Lago because it's about to be flooded. I'm just saying. It was warning the FBI.
A basement in Florida. Things are not going well, though, in a lot of ways for Trump, but things are not going well between him and the special master he chose to review those top secret Mar-a-Lago documents.
Right.
Here's where I think he went wrong with the special master. He forgot to set up a safe word. You got to do that with a special
master. Yes, indeed.
Trump rallies have gotten really bizarre, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Oh, my God.
At the last one, they had to make a public service announcement. Don't drop the brown acid.
We have something to say about that in a second.
NASA's gotten its first good photos of the rings of Saturn.
Uh-huh.
First good photos of the rings of Saturn. And I didn't know this. Did you know Saturn has rings?
I did not know that.
See, it's not just Uranus.
I saw that coming down Main Street.
Who didn't? Thanks to Mrs. Johnson's sixth grade class for sending that. A lot of Americans are in solidarity with the women of Iran.
Yes.
You know, Lindsey Graham, for example, has burned his headscarf.
More music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, kicking off the week with Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah.
And the lights that they turned around.
BG. Rocky Mountain Mike BG. He's like the fourth. He's like the fifth BG, I think.
That's right. Rocky MNZN Mike on
I
Twitter.
I love that song.
Yeah, yeah. Very nicely done. All right. So much to get to today, including the leaf blower that's right outside my window. So if I'm temporarily distracted at any point, I'm like quietly cursing at the leaf blower outside my window.
If you were more like me, you'd have steel plates over your windows. It really,
that's right.
It really keeps out the noise.
Yeah, throw open the door there at your place. Oh, no.
Wow. A fit night out for man or beast.
Yes, gusty winds. What's the wind speed right now? Hurricane category 3 wind speed?
I don't know. I would have to look that up.
Okay. Because, well, I thought when they categorized it as a 3, that corresponded with a wind speed.
There's a whole chart for that, but I didn't know I was going to need it, so I don't have it up in front of me.
Why don't you know these things, damn it?
It's really, really windy, Bob. It's like, I don't know, what would it be, like 150 miles an hour? Maybe something like that.
Yeah. And what's amazing is your entire place is armored like the Batmobile. Yes. I mean, it's got all of the metal panels on all the windows. Can you explain, how did you fortify your home?
Well, the house came with these hurricane panels. They're custom cut for each, and they're all numbered, so you know, and there's a chart that shows which panels go with which windows.
Yeah.
And they're held on by these wing nuts that have sort of built-in washers on them, and you just slap those babies up. There's spikes all the way around the window.
Yeah.
In the summertime, or you know, other times when it's not hurricane season, these bolts that stick out of the house around the window are covered with little white plastic nipples.
Yeah.
On them. That's right, I said nipples multiple times. And so you have to pull all those off, and then you slide these plates on, and they're corrugated, so they're extra super strong. It's thick metal, and I think they're virtually bulletproof, really.
Yeah.
And it has to be if an object comes flying at your house at 150 miles an hour. Let's say your neighbor has a little ceramic troll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that troll will go right through your heart. So you have to... you have to put up protection.
Why is that making me laugh? That should not be making me laugh, but it's hilarious.
No,
troll to the heart. That was the cause of death, they said.
That's right. Yeah, we have cases, actual cases of that. But,
see, what I was hoping for is you would describe these metal panels coming down, like I said before, like the Batmobile, like you whisper into a walkie-talkie, you just go, shields, and suddenly they go, chung, 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 and down they go, and your whole house looks super futuristic, yeah.
That would be great. It takes about 2 or 3 hours to put these babies up, and then that long to take them all down again. The good news is I think this is the last time I'll ever have to use them, because I really, earlier this year, but long before hurricane season, and I ordered hurricane windows, but because there was a backlog of everything then, they're not here yet. And but the hurricane is. So I had to put the damn things up one more time. And I have sandbags that I filled myself that are at the ready to put along the edge of my garage door so water doesn't seep in.
Yeah.
I'm not expected flooding where I am. I'm like 26 and a half feet above sea level. I'm a mile back from the beach itself.
Oh, thank God.
And I think we're only expecting, at the worst of it, I think maybe 9-foot storm surge, which is devastating, devastating, billions of dollars of damage along the beach, along the coast itself.
Yeah,
but I'm just far enough inland that we're going to get the 100-mile-an-hour winds. We're going to get the 10 inches of rain. It's going to be really bad, but I think we're as ready as we can be.
I'm imagining you up in the crow's nest above your place there, like Lieutenant Dan, just defying, like screaming at the storm as it whooshes through.
Yeah,
you're not moving. You're not going anywhere. You're staying right there where you are.
Like Dan Rather, hanging onto a fire plug or whatever he did when he covered a hurricane in Texas.
When does this make landfall?
You know, there were breaking developments just before we started the show, and I think the landfall timing is going to be about the same. It should hit here. But they basically said, when you go to bed tonight, make sure everything's in place, because that's going to be your last chance. Because sometime very early Wednesday morning, it's going to get really bad. I think the peak of it may be Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know things here are just closed. Businesses closed yesterday in many cases. Most of them closed today because their employees and customers alike need to be able to either get out of Dodge or make those last-minute preparations. So
yeah.
The place Everybody's just shut down and probably will be. Florida is closed, ladies and gentlemen, through the weekend. Oh,
wait,
and
Roy Wally said they never closed Florida at the end of National Lampoon's Vacation. But okay.
Here's how you know it's bad. Also, just in, before we started the show, they've canceled this weekend's boat show.
Yeah, you know what? And when you said boat show, you know what I heard in my head? I heard boat parade.
Boat parade.
So that's actually why I was getting excited. Like, oh, they canceled a Trump boat parade. What a shame.
No, we have to have boats to catch your seafood, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, stay safe, my friend. We'll be monitoring the course of this hurricane, and hopefully everything's going to be okay.
I could be making life-saving preparations, but no, I said, no, I want to do Bob's show. So.
That's right. Your priorities, exactly where they need to be.
I got to get that Lindsay joke on the air. So.
All right. Well, nicely done. It was worth it, certainly.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, let's see what else is going on here. You know, I wanted to mention this. I talked about this a little bit on the after party on Friday, but it bears repeating again for our free show listeners, which is that I don't understand the podcast platforms sometimes, specifically Apple Podcasts. They make some weird choices. For example, changing their name from iTunes to Apple Podcasts. That was one of the many things that confounded me about this particular one platform. And
that's how you stay ahead of the authorities.
Exactly right. When you're on the lam, when you've gone to the mattresses, make sure you have pseudonym ready to roll. But on Friday, I noticed this, and it was weird to me, not necessarily for the reason that you might think. I went to our podcast page on Apple Podcasts and noticed that they changed the name of our Thursday podcast. Our Thursday podcast, of course, features Jody and David.
Sure.
So we were talking about Donald Trump and the skin on his face. And of course, David went right to an old man's scrotum.
Well, sure.
And so immediately Jody jumped in and said, that's got to be the title of the show. And so I said, sure, let's do that as the title of the show. Made it the title of the show. Went and looked at the podcast page on Apple Podcasts on Friday and noticed that they had put asterisks in place of most of the word scrotum. They left the S at the beginning and the M at the end, but the rest are just a series of asterisks.
Now, as an uninformed person, just looking at that, has no idea what that word is supposed to be.
That's
if
exactly
you were on
right,
a game
yeah.
show and you saw the S and the M and like 100 asterisks in between it, you would have no idea what was being censored there.
That's right. You'd have to buy a bunch of vowels at least to try to narrow it down for sure. So, fine, they don't like the word scrotum. They don't want the biological term for the sack of skin. Yeah, the medical term for the sack of skin that holds the testicles. We didn't use ball sack. We could have used many other more obnoxious words in place of scrotum, but David went with the medical/biological term.
Good for him.
Yeah, so I don't know what's objectionable about that, but okay. My problem here is the hypocrisy. Is the disparity insofar as Apple Podcasts went out of its way to censor the word scrotum in the title of one of our shows, and Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire podcast network run by Ben Shapiro continues to incite violence and terrorism against Children's Hospital on Apple Podcasts.
If I understand this, by Apple standards, it's okay to incite actual violence against humans.
Yes.
But don't say the word scrotum. Very good.
Yes. That's exactly the disparity I'm talking about. Terrorism, good. Scrotum, bad. That's essentially...
So long as we know the rules.
I am in the middle of the dumbest controversies.
Well,
I'm listening to myself tell this story. I'm going... Am I really spending time on the fact that they bleeped scrotum in the title of the show? But there's a serious point here. Matt Walsh continues to get away with this bullshit.
Yes.
And someone's going to get, or many people are going to get seriously injured or killed in the process of this.
And that part's not funny. Absolutely.
No, you know, absolutely
it's
not.
It's outrageous that, you know, in social media, Twitter, I mean, all of them, they've just been horrible through all of this, at all in the name of greed. And it's only made things worse.
Yeah.
You know, Jon Stewart used to say, 24/7 cable news was the worst thing to happen to to political discourse. Now, I think that's been supplanted by social media.
Yeah, well, what's strange about Apple Podcasts is they don't necessarily make a lot of money off of running a show like The Matt Walsh Show. I don't understand what their business model necessarily is as far as running all these podcasts. I guess in some way it monetizes it, but
it's volume, volume, volume.
I guess that's it. I guess that they want to be the best, the top podcast provider above all of the other thousands of podcast platforms. And I guess that's their driving motivation. And Matt Walsh has, sadly, a very popular podcast. I guess in that regard, they're going to protect Matt Walsh and not give a flying rip about our little show here and our use of the word scrotum. I'm just going to say scrotum a couple more times here.
I think you
should. Yeah, scrotum. Just I'll try to incorporate it through the rest of the show somehow.
In fact, don't put it in the title. Put it in the show description somewhere today and see. Just as a test.
You know. That's a great idea. I will absolutely do that. See that, yeah.
We'll see how closely the computer is reading.
Yeah. That's right. Well, meantime, we all had some fun with this over the weekend. Donald Trump did another one of his ridiculous rallies, continuing to bilk all of the suckers and rubes of their life savings, making them pay to watch him say the same shit that he says every single rally.
Yeah, I think it's the brown acid. why else? There is no other explanation.
The truth is, not a lot of people show up at those rallies anymore.
Right.
You get the sense that there's a lot of people. Because you hear them yelling and pointing, doing their QAnon pointing gesture and so on, but not a lot of people there. But the funny thing is that while Donald Trump's content, while his script, while his ridiculous sir stories and his ongoing grievances and whining about impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two, Russia, Russia, Russia. In addition to all of that, he was talking at the rally over the weekend and he had another one of his short circuits where he goes to say something and it's on the prompter and he says it wrong. And then it's like you can hear the record rip right across.
The record player in his brain. Yes.
That's right. So he went to say, we want to keep America great. But instead of that, this is what came out. This is Donald Trump over the weekend.
Okay. Remember, I was going to say, I was going to use an expression, we have to keep our country gate, but it's not, I mean, for some reason, it's just not great anymore.
It's not great anymore, but he needs to keep the country gate. What is that?
Recovery. Yeah. Isn't that great recovery?
Yes. Yeah. And that is so ironic because his recoveries are never great. His recoveries are always worse than the actual misspoken word itself, right?
And yet his thing and the thing of other Republicans is that Joe Biden is the one who has dementia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
While this guy's running around loose.
Saying this.
We have to keep our country gate.
You know how we have silver alerts? We have silver alerts for senior citizens who wander off. We should put out an orange alert.
What is the part? What does he say?
I don't know where he was going with that. Yeah.
It's like he's almost going to say gray poupon, but he doesn't. He just says gay.
No, it's just that short circuit or a skipping record that you described. Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. Usually what he does is he says something wrong and then pretends as though he meant to say the wrong thing. Like, usually what he would say, we need to keep the country gay, and we love the gays, such fans of the gays.
Well, I know you want to play it again, and I do too, and here's what we should listen for this time.
Okay.
Notice in the sentence after the per part, he makes it a point to say the word great very clearly.
Right.
To prove he can do it, or to make you think that you didn't hear what you thought you heard a second before that.
Okay, here we go.
Remember, I was going to say, I was going to use an expression, we have to keep our country gate, but it's not, I mean, for some reason, it's just not great anymore.
Great, it's not great anymore.
See, he can do it.
We have to keep our country gate, but
well,
there's a rhythm to it almost, I think.
Yeah, there is. I am convinced of two things. One, it's outrageous that he's still out running around spewing this stuff, him and a number of other people. The other thing is it can't go on much longer. The walls, as we've discussed before, are definitely closing in very closely to him now from multiple directions. And that's a lot of his behavior, this panic behavior. We're seeing panic behavior all over the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And if I may interject here, the Democrats winning the House is not a sure thing. In fact, the Republicans still have the lead just barely. So if we work a little harder, we can overcome that. Mm-hmm. You don't want, because the first thing they're going to do is shut down the investigation of Jan 6.
Yep.
They're going to impeach Biden. Mm-hmm. They're going to impeach Merrick Garland. They have a list of the last I heard, 7 or 8 people that they're either going to impeach or investigate. And it's going to be like the Benghazi thing for each of them. There'll be 11 hearings for each of them. And that's all they will do. And if you don't want that, then, you've got to vote and you've got to make sure you drag people with you. This is a case where really every vote counts.
Have they said why they want to impeach Joe Biden? Have they mentioned the charges? Have they mentioned anything along those lines in terms of why he should be impeached? I don't think they have. I haven't heard anything along those lines.
Nothing substantive. I must say I saw something and I've put it out of my mind because I dismissed it, basically what happened. And that's what's going to happen, I think, in the minds of reasonable people is that they got nothing.
Right.
And it's too bad that many Democrats don't realize what a great president Biden is and how, I mean, he looks lackluster on the outside. You may not like the package, but damn, that guy's gotten some things done. And we need to continue to spread the word about that because America is wrongheaded. Now, we're seeing shifts. Biden's popularity is up. The Republicans are on the ropes. We haven't beaten them, but we've got them in a corner, and we just need to push a little harder. Mm-hmm. And that goes for all races up and down the ballot. But we're getting down to the wire here, and the consequences of losing even the House to Republicans are devastating.
I know why they want to impeach him.
Okay.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because the Democrats impeached Donald Trump twice.
Well, sure. It is the party of revenge.
It's payback. Exactly right. They don't need a reason.
It's the party of
revenge. Yeah, yeah. We're going to punish Joe Biden because they punished Donald Trump. Except that the big difference is that the Democrats had reason to impeach Donald Trump. Substantive reason, evidence, things like that. They're just like Matt Gaetz is out there screaming, oh, we're just going to do it. We're going to do it because I know you want us to do it. I know that we'll get votes if we say we're going to do it. We don't need to give a reason. We just want to get rid of him. But that's no reason. But they don't need specific charges. They don't need a reason. Doesn't even matter to that extent. So this is going to be, this is just going to be a process of neener payback is what they're going
to
be doing.
They are the revenge party from top to bottom, from Trump down. And that's exactly, in fact, they'll tell you, we're doing it because you did it to our guy.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see how well that holds up after a lot of this criminal stuff comes down, the rest of the Jan 6 committee's work, et cetera.
Well, we witnessed that firsthand throughout the Clinton years, the Republicans getting revenge on Bill Clinton because George H.W. Bush was supposed to be the two-term guy, was supposed to be a two-term president to continue on the Reagan legacy. And then suddenly this guy, this nobody out of Arkansas comes in and cleans his clock and ends up becoming president, and they couldn't hack that. And that gave rise to Newt Gingrich. That gave Newt Gingrich the foothold he needed, culminating yada, yada, yada into the 1998, was it 98 impeachment? Was that when it happened?
Probably.
I think so. Yeah, somewhere
Let's
in
say
there.
It was.
Yes, okay. I'm going to go with 1998. But that's the whole reason. It was all about revenge. It was about revenge for 1992.
Right.
And so that's been the centerpiece of that party so far. That's what they do.
And Newt is the brute at the root of the Republican politics we have today. And I think you're going to be hearing more about that, very likely from the Jan 6 committee.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, all they really want to do is to keep the country gay.
We have to keep our country gay.
Can't get enough of that. Say it.
Yes. One of my favorite things in the world. That's one of my new favorite short circuits from Donald Trump. Okay.
Very good.
Speaking of Trump, big thing happening tomorrow, and that's what they're calling it. They're calling it Big Thing. The January 6th committee hearing, the latest one, occurs tomorrow. I think this may be, they're saying, speculating that this might be the last one. Are you hearing that, Buzz? That's going to be
Here's what I have heard. Here's what I've read, and that is that there is some disagreement within the January 6th 6th Committee as to whether this will be the last one.
Okay.
Chairman Benny Thompson is saying it will be. There are other prominent people in and involved with the January 6th Committee who are saying, wait, not so fast. I do know that the committee's work will continue to the end of the year and will conclude with a report. And that report will include a possible criminal referrals, but really more importantly at this point, recommendations to how to prevent this crap in the future. And there are disagreements on the Jan 6 panel about that, too. So that those have to be ironed out. But here's what we know about tomorrow's hearing. And I'm really surprised and disappointed it's on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, me too.
Because what I'm hearing is that if people saw this, and many will, but if people saw this, this is the case closer.
Yeah.
This is where they close the case on Donald Trump, where they tie everything back to him. There's a lot of new stuff that they've gathered over the summer, including the Secret Service, and it's going to be a very active hearing tonight.
Yes.
You're going to see a lot of things in a short amount of time, and from what I understand, it'll be very powerful. It would be a good ender, as it were, but there's so much more to uncover. They haven't even spoken with Jenny Thomas yet, although that's on their docket, but that takes place after tomorrow's televised hearing.
Plus, I heard that Liz Cheney is talking about how the committee has obtained 800,000 U.S. Secret Service communications on or around January 6th. She said some of the texts are gone, but there are other forms of communications. Also, some agents were not forthcoming with the committee. But I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that this won't be the last one.
I don't think we'll see one more. They'll have to come back. It may not be until after the election.
I think
it would be the way they would work that. But there will be more to reveal then as they get closer to their final report. Of course, after the election, you're headed into the end of the year where they were going to wrap up with a final report anyway. So I'm not sure how that'll play out exactly. But I expect a dramatic hearing tomorrow. I'm glad MSNBC is doing a recap of it tomorrow night. It's a shame that so many in Florida won't see tomorrow's hearing because of the hurricane.
You gotta close those metal slats. I don't know how you were able to multitask and get that done while you were talking.
They needed a little fresh air. And
is it my headphones are too loud, or is it just really, really windy out there? Okay. Yes, and I want to add here that if the Democrats end up retaining the House, the Democrats manage to not lose the House, we can hang on to the House. I am predicting that this committee will be renewed for the next Congress, that it won't shut down at the end of the year. So if the Democrats have a really good night on November 8, in that transition, in that lame duck period of time, I think there will be at least one more hearing.
I think the committee's work
will continue publicly during that window of time.
In the meantime, they have to prepare for the worst. And the worst could very well happen. Again, let me emphasize, Republicans still have a slight lead in taking control of the House. Mm-hmm. We're very close. We can fix this. And the numbers are getting better, but only if we do the work. We're really in danger of losing the House and having these hearings and having these impeachments and seeing the end of the January 6th investigation. And so many more things, you know, the Congress, it'll be gridlocked. We don't want this. We need to keep control of the House and expand our control of the Senate and all the local races down the ballot to school board. It's so important that we take care of that because there is so much at stake and the clock is ticking.
I've got some poll results here coming up in a little bit.
Okay, good.
That are not. You know what? I'm going to mention those now. Screw it. I was going to put them off till the end of the show, usually when we do the pollgasm stuff. But I just wanted to mention along those lines, this one really concerned me, Buzz. This particular poll, I think it's coming up here. Yes, it's a CBS News battleground tracker from YouGov. Uh-huh. And it's the percentage of people who say they will definitely vote this time around.
Oh, yes.
And we've got 70% of independents saying they will definitely vote.
Uh-huh.
79% of Republicans say they will definitely vote. Only 74% of Democrats say they will definitely vote. And we got to do better than that. Wise up, Democrats. This is not good enough.
If you care about public health, women's rights, gay rights, the rights of minorities, if you care about sanity in this country, law enforcement, you've got to vote Democratic and you've got to get other people to do the same. Mm-hmm. This is so—I'm nervous right now. I'm really nervous. We're getting close. it's a very close race. We're slightly behind. And so, yeah, to me, I'm biting my nails over this.
Yeah.
Because we're so close to losing so much. We can't afford to let that happen. I know Democrats are largely motivated. I expect to get some help from independents, although independents have a very unfavorable view of Joe Biden. We don't know how much that's going to reflect. I do know that although voters, you see these polls, and the media loves this, polls that say inflation is their number one concern. Well, not among women voters, for sure.
No.
Inflation is not the number one concern. And historically, if you look at past elections, where Democrats have faced a midterm or a re-election challenge during a time of high inflation, the inflation did not hurt the Democrats at the voting booth.
Right.
So for all the concern about inflation that we all share, I don't think that voters are going to let that be the final determining factor. And like I said, if you care about women's rights and a sane immigration policy and so much more, there's only one way to vote, and you need to take as many people with you as you can, because it's damn close.
Bear in mind that inflation is temporary and fascism is permanent. Republicans take power. If they seize control of the House of Representatives, the chances are they will not relinquish that power. They have shown themselves to be prone to that sort of tactic, that they will hang on to power no matter what. They will try whatever tricks they can pull out of their fucking top hats to make sure they retain that power. And so we have to act accordingly, not on, you know, some sort of thing that's cyclical that will pop up and then disappear on its own without a whole lot of meddling from the political class in Washington. I mean, obviously, the Fed has a role to play in inflation and so on. OPEC has a role to play in all of those things. But there's not a whole lot, despite what the Republicans are saying, there's not a whole lot Congress can do, if anything. And by the way, Republicans don't have a plan for inflation anyway. Find me the Republican plan to combat inflation.
Right,
they do not have
What they have is a commitment to America that will make life begin at conception, that will eliminate Medicare and Social Security. These are the things that are on the line in this next election. I can't believe the numbers you just cited. Why are Democrats trailing in the number who plan to vote? That's very, very disturbing, especially since Democrats have so much to lose here.
Yeah, I hope it's not because we're getting complacent. I hope it's not because people are getting happy, because
do not get happy.
This is not in the bag yet. The Senate is not. I mean, the Republicans still have a chance to win a majority in the Senate, too. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that slight lead for granted. We need to dominate. We need to embarrass them. We need to humiliate them at the polling place. That's how this needs to work. And that's the only way over the long run that something like Trumpism gets rebottled and jettisoned into space, however we can. Maybe we can use it to knock down another asteroid or something like that. But I mean, the one consolation in this poll is, and someone mentioned this in the replies, I forget the person's name, but it's that there are more Democrats than there are Republicans in this country.
There are, if only they'd vote.
Yes.
If everybody voted, Democrats would always win.
Right. Well, that may even out the fact that Democrats are 5% less likely to vote in this election, which is just absolutely fucking baffling. I mean, I'm trying to think of who that is. Who is that 5%? Is that, fuck it. Is this not important enough? Is it the young people? Is it the progressives, as they call them? Is it those people who just want to stay home or vote third party? Or actually, they're not even voting third party. This is just, we're not going to vote at all.
I expect it's probably interdemographic. I think probably some from all groups are just not happy with Biden because they don't know what he's done. He doesn't present the image that they like, that they see on TV. I don't think they care for that very much.
Yeah.
Because they think of him as old. If you look at what he's actually accomplished, you'd be very impressed by his ability to do these things.
Yeah.
Because they're impressive even for a younger man. It's just a shame that even Democrats don't see the good that Joe Biden has done. But the fact is they don't.
Right.
And that, to some degree, is hurting us. I think, though, that the investigations are helping, especially as developments unfold, and I hope they continue to unfold up till Election Day. It strikes me interesting that this last January 6th committee hearing occurs on September 28th, which is the end of September. which is as close as you can get to an October surprise without being in October. I don't think that timing is accidental. Mm-hmm. I don't think they wanted to hold it in October because they didn't want to be accused of that. So they put it as close to October as they could get it.
That's right.
And I think so. I think there was some strategic thinking there.
Yeah.
But I think the progress of that investigation and the DOJ and other investigations, Fani Willis, the state of New York, Letitia James in New York, very impressive stuff going on there, and it's happening very quickly. And the special master that at first Trump demanded to have one. I must have a special master.
Yes.
And then he rejected the two that the Justice Department proposed, and then he proposed two. And one of them, as soon as DOJ saw that, they said, yeah, that guy. We want that guy. Mm-hmm. And so they agreed on this guy. So Trump demanded a special master and got it, demanded this specific special master and got him, and the special master has abused him,
yes.
You know, with negative ruling and comment after negative ruling and comment. I think that these things unfolding, that the Republican Party looking more criminal as we approach Election Day, can be good for us. And I think who knows, if we get lucky, maybe we'll even see inflation numbers ease a bit.
That's right. We're going to talk about the latest from Judge Deary here in a second, because he's trying to paint Donald Trump into a corner in which... Well, Donald Trump has already painted himself into a corner.
Yes.
Judge Deary's adding more paint. He's adding another coating to the paint that's surrounding Donald Trump, the red ketchup-colored paint. And so we're going to talk about the latest there and how Donald Trump is going to get around this. I think we can all predict how Donald Trump will get around this, but we'll discuss it specifically here in just a few minutes. Plus, a couple of things from the Maggie Haberman book and... Mark Meadows chatting with someone who was behind the plan to seize voting machines. All right, in the meantime, I want to thank Stephanie B., Michael Jenis, Chris Denchfield, Charles R. Salvador, Mark Tomchek, Mark Owen, Sean in Florida, Heather, Jay Palm, Glenn Cairn Murray. These are all brand new subscribers to our Patreon page.
Welcome.
This week, thank you so much for joining us on the Patreon page. It's the best way to support this podcast, I'm telling you, but it's not just about supporting the podcast. We give back. Not only are you going to be supporting this fully independent podcast, but you're also going to get all kinds of bonus content, including every Tuesday and Thursday, you're going to get the Shadow Docket podcast at BobSeskaShow.com, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, either one of those. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. We call it Act 3 of the show.
We actually say the word scrotum about every 60 seconds.
That is absolutely true. It's just a scrotum fest. It's a scrotum palooza on the Shadow Docket show. But it's Act 3 of the show. We do the first two acts for free, and then the third act is the Shadow Docket, and that drops exclusively on our Patreon page. Remember, once you sign up, you can only listen on the Patreon page or on the app, or if you know how to use an RSS feed, you can use that too. But primarily, it's all about BobSeskaShow.com or the Patreon app where you listen. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and they're only going to cost you $5 per month. That is the extent of the pledge, and you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. Don't miss out. It's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska.
Come on.
such a great song. Yeah, we're sending this out to the Tampa Bay area.
Thank you.
This is God Save the City. The great Brad Brooks. Link in the description to support Brad Brooks. Get this album now. It is also called God Save the City. That's the name of the record. So you want to download this, get this into your record collection ASAP. BobSeska.com/music to submit your stuff to the show. Please do it. You got a band, if you're a solo recording artist, whatever it is you do musically, we'd love to hear it on the show, and maybe we'll get into the rotation for you. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, we'll check in. How's everything going down there? Is there no roofs blowing off of places nearby?
Let me peek out and see. I don't know. I'll be bringing you these reports as long as I can talk and as long as I can see.
Have you bungeed yourself to a stop sign yet?
No, but I have my gas grill is bungeed, so that's the important thing.
That's good, I know. Yeah, as you sent me all the pictures of how you've got all of your stuff secured to the building, and that's good. That's good preparation.
We are as battened down as you can get.
Yes.
I feel very confident that we have taken every preparation we can. It is going to be a devastating storm, and I will tell you this, there's more work ahead. Not only do I have to take down all those panels and get rid of the sandbags and put everything back in the yard where it was before, but also there will be the business of cleaning up of branches and twigs and leaves and things that will be probably a foot deep all across my lawn.
Oh, so, yay. That sounds great.
Yeah,
sounds
exactly. Like so crazy times ahead.
You know, it's times like these when I want to go to the old expression, and that old expression is...
We have to keep our country gay.
That's it. That's the old
expression.
That's the
one. Yes.
We have to keep our country gay. It's almost like an impression of Dennis Miller. Got to keep our country gay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is very much like that. Well, so that we remember it, you may have to play it several more times before we get out of here.
I'm almost forgetting the expression. What's the expression
already
again?
I forgot.
We have to keep our country gay.
Our country gay.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
By the way, That line, as long as I can talk and as long as I... Yeah, that is actually a line from the 1939 broadcast of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Ah, nice.
A guy, the Martian machines are moving in. A reporter's on top of the building. He's choking on the smoke, on the acrid smoke. I'll be bringing you these reports as long as I can talk and as long as I can see.
I love that show.
Thank you.
I love it. And I've got the equipment for it. If you notice Rocky Mountain Mike's Twitter feed, lots of pictures of my equipment set up. It's perfect for War of the Worlds. And
it is.
Yes. Okay. Judge Deary is now demanding that Trump prove that the FBI planted evidence in and amongst all of his crap in Mar-a-Lago.
And it's all because Trump shot his mouth off.
That's exactly right. So now Judge Raymond Deary, the court-appointed special master, said in a filing on Thursday that Trump's team needs to submit a sworn declaration saying if they believe the Justice Department included any items on their inventory of materials taken from Mar-a-Lago that were not actually seized during the search. The declaration must include a list of any specific items set forth in the detailed property inventory that plaintiff asserts were not seized from the premises on August 8, 2022, Deary wrote in the order. Interesting scenario here.
It is. See, Judge Deary is the type of judge that Judge Cannon will never be.
Yeah, he's got no fucks.
He actually knows, and he actually knows what he's doing as opposed to Judge Cannon. This is so great. As I said, you know, Trump demanded him, Trump chose him, and now he's getting this. And people were complaining that a candidate chosen by Trump to be the special master was actually going to get the gig. And they thought, oh, well, we're screwed. And I understand that reaction.
Yeah.
But I was saying from the very start, no, you don't understand. This guy's good.
Yeah.
This guy we can trust. This guy knows what he's doing. And a lot of people very skeptical about, and I just want to say nanny, nanny, boo, boo to those of you who had any doubt about Judge Deary, because he's made ruling after ruling and statement after statement that just shows he's not putting up with Trump's crap.
And he's so much better than Judge Cannon. And
oh, my God.
And one of the reasons is this is Judge Cannon's judicial philosophy.
We have to keep our country gate.
That's the other thing I tried to assuage people by saying, no, listen, it's going to be okay because what's going to happen is Judge Deary is going to eclipse Judge Cannon, and he has done precisely that.
That's right. Well, here's the thing. Any disparity in the inventory is going to be seized upon by Donald Trump and say, hey, look, there was something missing, or they said there were too many things when there weren't. And so you already saw that there was a filing yesterday where there was a new inventory where the FBI had been able to go through and verify the numbers of documents. For example, I think it's still 43 empty folders, but I think there is like one fewer actual classified 40, documents.
I think we're back down to 47. It was like 47, okay, and then went up to 48, and then back down to 47. But yes. Yeah, I think the number we're at is 47.
Well, watch for Donald Trump to seize on that as the excuse, sure, as the hinky behavior by the FBI indicating
empty folders,
planted evidence. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and the judge has already made clear, Deary's already made clear that we're left to him to decide, but between the veracity of the government and the veracity of Trump and his lawyers, he's going to go with the government.
Yeah,
and that's great. That's a relief.
Well, his lawyers will also tell Judge Deary that Donald Trump's opinion on social media is just him, playing with his troth-central thing.
Troth-central.
Yes, and he's not really serious about that, and they'll put that in there. And, of course, the Red Hats will never see it because Fox News and AM Talk Radio and all the Daily Wire podcasts will never mention that part of the filing. And then Donald Trump will continue to say, well, they planted evidence. It doesn't matter ultimately what's on the record. He's just going to keep saying they planted evidence anyway.
Yeah, if I understand where you're going here, and I think I do, it is the tactic here is to simply delay.
Yeah, delay. That's the ongoing tactic.
It's all about delay. By the way, it's funny, we were just talking about this. This just came in from CNN, I think. They say the newest addition to Trump's legal team has been sidelined in the Mar-a-Lago search case. He's been sidelined from the investigation less than a month after being brought on to represent Trump. It's Kyes. The guy's name is Chris Kyes.
Chris Kyes, really?
So he was here a month ago. He showed up a month ago, and a month later, he's out the door.
Yeah, and Bob was on OAN or one of those kind of networks and said something along the lines of that she's no longer part or was never part of the Mar-a-Lago matter, the espionage matter.
I'm reading further down. He'll remain part of Trump's legal team. It says the reason for the shift in his role, it remains unclear, but that he may instead focus his efforts on the other investigations Trump is facing.
Yes, the other two dozen investigations. Yes.
So many lawyers, so little time.
Yeah. I think their main guy on this one is Trusty. Am I getting that right? Is it Trusty? Yeah. I think it's Trusty. Trusty. Yeah, uh-huh. Because right out of Central Casting, you got to love the name Trusty. His name is Trusty.
He's already been admonished, dare I say, embarrassed by Judge Deary already. So his credibility in the court is tenuous at best.
Yes. Meantime, Mark Meadows communicated with an operative who was behind the plan to seize voting machines from swing states like Arizona and Georgia. And this has been proven in text messages, which have not been previously reported. These shed new light. By the way, this is also CNN, as you put it. Mm-hmm. This is from
CNN.
Yeah, yeah. It sheds new light on how Phil Waldron's reach, this is the guy who was behind the plan to seize voting machines, his reach extended into the highest levels of the White House, and to the extent to which Meadows was kept abreast of plans for accessing voting machines, a topic sources tell CNN and court documents suggest is of particular interest to state and federal prosecutors probing efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So, yeah, this has all been a White House operation from the beginning, and we know it.
Yeah, at the direction of Donald Trump, but Mark Meadows is really at the center of Trump's operation here. And I think I heard on television last night, is there anybody who doesn't have Mark Meadows' phone number? Because he was in touch with January 6th people. He was in touch with Jenny Thomas. Obviously, he was in touch with Trump.
Yeah,
he seems to be the hub of a lot of this between Trump and everybody else. The January 6th committee has, if you remember back to the beginning, Meadows, for whatever reason, turned over a whole bunch of his texts and other documents to the committee, and then he heard from Trump, and then he stopped cooperating.
Right.
But he didn't stop cooperating until after he had already cooperated quite a bit. So the Jan 6 committee and the Department of Justice have tons and tons and tons of text communications between Mark Meadows and I don't know, just name somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was literally talking to everyone, the fake electors. I mean, he's maybe the thread that ties all of these folks together, from the rioters to the fake electors to Trump himself to Republican lawmakers. I mean, this guy was the center of that web.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump was throwing him under the bus, making him the scapegoat, leaking some of these stories to the press about Mark Meadows and text messages. Yeah.
Gonna be a hard case to make. And I think the January 6th committee is expected to seal the deal on bringing it all back to Trump tomorrow.
And I hope Kash Patel is ready for that eventuality, too. At some point along the lines here during the course of this investigation, specifically the Mar-a-Lago matter, Kash Patel is going to get thrown under the bus just like all the rest of them. And I wonder if he knows that. I wonder if he realizes that. I wonder if he's protecting himself in that eventuality, because that's what happens to all of Trump's inner circle people. As soon as they're no longer useful, Trump just throws them out the door and slams the door behind them. Yeah.
But this time he's going with them. It does him little good. They may have to share a prison bus. I don't know if they'll be under the bus, but they'll be on the bus. Maybe it'll be a separate bus from Trump. I said a couple of years ago, we're going to need a lot of prison buses for this. And I still believe that.
That's right.
Yeah, all of these folks need to go down. Not all of them will. Some will in different ways. But this is the beginning of the end of Trump world, I think. Trumpism lives on, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump's own little world there is about to implode.
Well, even though we're inside that 60-day period before the election, I'm still frantically reloading Twitter, like 24/7. Just waiting for indictment news to come down. Yeah. I'm just anticipating it. I'm eagerly anticipating. I'm waiting. I'm excited. And I feel like it's going to happen any time now, even though realistically, it probably won't happen until after the election.
I think you can bank on that. But there will be a different kind of indictment coming down tomorrow through the January 6th committee.
Oh, yeah.
I think, again, the point of this hearing is to close the deal with the American people.
That's
on Donald Trump. And so what they have is substantial. Let's see where we are on the other side of that.
So what do you make of this 60 Minutes scoop about a 9-second phone call reported to 60 Minutes by Denver Riggleman? I'm
Riggleman.
Denver Riggleman is a great name. That's a great radio name.
Character name. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So he's a Republican or former Republican congressman who's served as a technical advisor to the January 6th committee. And he told 60 Minutes that, there was this 9-second phone call where CNN has come along now and has named this guy Anton Lunick as the man who received the call from the White House at 4:34 in the afternoon on January 6th. Lurick is a 26-year-old supporter of Donald Trump who lives in Brooklyn. He and two friends breached the Capitol on Jan 6 and recently pled guilty to charges of illegal demonstration. The call's existence was first made public on 60 Minutes by Denver Riggleman. Was it an accidental call? Riggleman told 60 Minutes.
Right.
When the White House just happened to call numbers that somebody misdialed a rioter that day on January 6th, probably not accidental. But it was only a 9-second phone call.
It wouldn't. It could be Mark Meadows. I don't know if we'll ever find out who it was. But what we know that the January 6th committee has and DOJ investigators have is a complete log of Mark Meadows' texts and phone calls. If there's one, if there's a 9-second call involving Mark Meadows at that mark, or any of the other people they have text threads from, we may find out who it is. But it's interesting. We know the length of the call, the time of the call. We know who was on the outside end of the call. We just don't know who in the White House went through the switchboard to make this particular call. I don't think it was Trump himself.
No.
I'm thinking Meadows or someone like him.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll find out. I don't know if we will or not, but I do think that the Jan 6 committee and DOJ have the capability to match those up with something they already have in their hands. And speaking of that, although a lot of the Secret Service texts have not been recovered, as you said, the committee has many, many documents. They have more testimony. And today, just before the show, we learned that the DHS Inspector General, Department of Homeland Security Inspector General, is conducting a criminal investigation. And as part of that investigation, the Secret Service seized the phones of 24 agents and turned those phones over to the Inspector General for this criminal investigation. This is very significant, and it's, you know, although that those calls didn't come from within the White House, this will be all revelatory. And yeah, in answer to your earlier question, I do believe that the Jan 6 committee will be talking about the Secret Service tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I hope so. And just one last thing about this 9-second phone call. Odds are it wasn't someone we know necessarily.
Right.
Because there are dozens and dozens of people who work in the West Wing, political appointee staffers, et cetera, people, you know, just regular White House employees who work in there too.
And
so,
Jack.
Yeah, it could be just about anybody. And a lot of times what happens is a story like this comes down with a big question mark in terms of the whodunit. And then I think sometimes we're prone to insert the name of someone we know. Oh, Kellyanne Conway. Oh, Mark Meadows. Oh, yeah. Stephen Miller. You know, the familiar names.
When we're making often, good guesses.
Yeah. I think it's fair to guess those names. But at the same time, chances are, and this has been borne out in previous instances, it's someone that we've never heard of before who was the assistant to staffer X or whoever. And so, therefore, it may not be anything super duper important, but it's still hinky enough, I think, to demand investigation.
It's a direct connection between the rioters and the White House. I don't know what to make of this Riggleman character. I think he really knows his stuff when it comes to intelligence and research. He did an amazing job with the numbers and the volume of material that he worked with. He's also kind of a dick, you know. He's and he's, you know, very anti-Trump world, that's for sure. So again, enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's right.
So there's some upsides. You know, nobody's perfect. Everybody's a mixture of good and bad. This guy is the peak of both of those. It's possible he's both a hero and a villain. But what he did here was pull a 5-alarm fire, you know, for an alarm for a 5-alarm fire.
Yeah.
And that we appreciate. And I think he's right. I think he was trying to make the committee look bad, saying they hadn't done. But the response from the committee was, we're way beyond that. We know about that and so much more since he left the investigation. We've learned a lot of crap since he left, and I believe that to be true. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. At the same time, realize it is a direct connection between the White House and the rioters, and that's not for nothing.
And Riggleman is my least favorite superhero. I just wanted to add that. I don't know if you've read any of the Riggleman comics, but
he won't hold still. There are no still photos of him. They're all blurry.
Yes, but they are doing a limited TV series on Disney Plus about the Riggleman.
Of course, they are.
Yes. I'm anxiously anticipating that. That'll be coming next fall. Yeah.
Wait till you see the doll. It'll be.
Right, the action figures are going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. The Riggleman action figure. Holy shit. Okay, on that note, we're going to take one last break and wrap up the show right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Oh, yeah. Now listen. Turn the gray sky blue.
Oh,
I can make it rain whenever I want it to. As a Soul Crackers covering the great Al Green, I Can't Get Next to You. This is from what is it? The History of Soul Volume 2? I'm forgetting the name of the album.
We're forgetting so much today.
Yeah, it's in the description. I wrote it down in the description. You can find it under this episode of BobSeska.com because
there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
They are my favorite crackers, though.
Mine. Shit. Yes, you know, so much information gets crammed into my brain, it pushes other stuff out.
I understand.
That's why I forgot the name of this album. Yeah. Okay, BobSeska.com/music to submit.
I think, you know, obviously soul going on there, but I've been listening to blues lately, just more than I ever have before.
Yeah.
And learning about it, and it's just fascinating. I like it very much. It's not always sad stuff. And that was very much a blues song that we just heard.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, and I love that. Other blues songs I've heard recently were, if I get this, I got my mojo working, but it just ain't working on you. that's a famous one. And then the other one I heard is Great Minds Drink Alike.
Yes.
Great Minds Drink Alike, yeah.
My favorite blues standard is called
We Have to Keep Our Country Gate.
Right, and the part is in parentheses. So
that's part of the rhythm. Yeah. That's part of that jazz rhythm they
that's
use.
That's right. Yeah. We got to keep our country gate.
We have to keep our country gate.
Okay, so Trump told Maggie Haberman that Ron DeSantis is fat, phony, and whiny. And he's obviously projecting is what he's doing there. And there's some truth to it, too. But, of course, Donald Trump is also fat, phony, and whiny.
There's a rich tapestry here. There are there've got to be at least six reasons that DeSantis did what he did with the Martha's Vineyard stunt that's being investigated criminally in multiple angles. First of all, it was dominion over Donald Trump. It was proving that he can do what Trump can't now, and that he can do it more dramatically than Trump could do it. That was part of the reason for it. A part of it was to absolutely troll the libs.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely part of it. There's another aspect to it, too. Greg Abbott over in Texas has been thinking about running for president, and DeSantis, who's been thinking the same thing for himself, went to Texas, stole immigrants from Greg Abbott's state, put them on a plane, flew them to Florida, and then on to Martha's Vineyard. Greg Abbott and Texas Republicans are not very happy with Mr. DeSantis right now. DeSantis was trolling Trump, he was trolling Abbott and Texas Republicans, and he was trolling liberals while breaking the law and being childishly cruel.
Yes, basically borrowing from the white supremacist playbook pre-Civil Rights Act. This happened quite a bit back in the day. They would do the reverse freedom rides and take black people off the streets and transport them up to wherever in the north just to own the northern people who were less racist than they were. And I say less racist because that's the case. There were lots of racists in the north. they were just less racist than in the South.
Absolutely. And, yeah. and before we get away from it, there's one other layer to this tapestry, and that is that DeSantis is trying to distract from the issue of abortion mm-hmm. because Charlie Crist, who is running a very good race and apparently successful race against DeSantis, a number of polls indicate that Crist has a lead. Crist's ads have focused almost entirely on a woman's right to choose.
Yes.
And so DeSantis needed a stunt like this to distract, to change the topic from abortion to immigration. And so he could do that. He could change the subject, troll Babbitt and Trump and liberals all in one fell swoop, and at a cost of only like $12,000 a head
yeah.
to ship those people to Martha's Vineyard.
And that's why if you see something like this come up, if you see a mm-hmm. Republican troll, a MAGA troll, a Red Hat troll pop up in your replies, don't confront them on the thing that they're adding to your replies.
Change
just
back
always
the subject.
Pivot yeah. the conversation right back right. to abortion, right. things they don't want to talk about this election. And that's the key to overcoming this ridiculousness, this racist, cruel, inhumane way that they're manipulating people and using them as political props. And the key to that is knowing exactly what you said, which is that they don't want us talking yeah. about the other things. January 6th, Mar-a-Lago, FBI doc, espionage, right. abortion, 10-year-old rape victims, things like that. They don't want to hear that. And
too
so,
often,
yeah, yeah.
too often we focus on the surface things, the things most freshly in the news, like a mm-hmm. DeSantis stunt, when really, and this is what I wanted to bring the show to the show today and to our listeners, is there are a lot of layers to this weave that DeSantis wove.
Yeah.
There are a lot of layers and threads to this where he was really accomplishing a lot, and all of it perhaps illegally to benefit his campaign,
mm-hmm.
not just for governor now, but for president in 24.
I'm developing this weird theory, Buzz. I'm just going to throw it out there
okay.
and see what you think.
All
I right. think that when the rest of the nation hears Ron DeSantis speak publicly, mm-hmm. like in a mm-hmm. you know big public address, like at a rally or something like that,
right.
they're going to start to slowly back away from Ron DeSantis because he's got a terrible speaking voice. What Donald Trump said about him, that he's whiny, he is absolutely whiny. I mean, Donald Trump is plenty whiny himself. He's the whiniest of the whiny diaper babies. But Ron DeSantis has that whiny voice. He's got a very thin voice. It's a little bit effeminate. It's strange to listen to him talk and get, you know, it's sort of like that. It's way up in his sinuses. And I think that's going to get a lot of Republicans who are all about the alpha man, the big tough alpha guy. Yo, we got to get a manly man. They're all going to slowly start to step away from Ron DeSantis.
I hope so. I think that's true. I, like myself, Ron DeSantis is a short man, and I think he tries to make up for it with bluster. I think that if you listen to him, I just get this creepy vibe from him. I mean, if I didn't know anything about his politics, I still wouldn't like Ron DeSantis
yeah.
because he's like, I don't know, slippery, a little greasy, a little, you know.
And, well, and
he's
there's
got,
that too,
he's,
yeah.
He's got this chip on his shoulder. He's got uh-huh. this attitude, this sort of snobby bully attitude,
yeah.
And whining is part of that. But I get a bad vibe from him. He's like a guy who just wants to make trouble. He's like a frat boy who wants to make trouble.
And I think that's going to turn off a lot of people. And one of the reasons I've developed this theory, and I know it's like wafer thin, I fully admit that. But remember when Fred Thompson ran for president? For
yes,
years, yeah. people wanted Fred Thompson to run for president on the Republican side. This guy can be the next Reagan. And they thought of Fred Thompson in terms of roles from the 80s. And we're talking about
right.
A campaign that took place, what was it, 2008, I think Fred Thompson finally did run.
That sounds right, yeah.
But he had already been racked with cancer. He looked drawn. Mm. He looked thin. He wasn't the same Fred Thompson that people remembered from
no,
the movies.
He wasn't that character.
Exactly yeah. right. And so I think a lot of Republicans saw that and went, I think it's maybe that was the wrong choice. And they started mm-hmm. to slowly back away. I think there's a possibility that the same thing, the Fred Thompson effect, can happen with Ron DeSantis. Yeah. I think Ron DeSantis, for this reason, is not going to end up being the nominee. I think people are jumping the gun as far as anointing Ron DeSantis as the guy.
But he is the epitome of the revenge party. He is, over Trump, he's the standard bearer for bullying and revenge, and that's what the Republican politic and the Republican votership are all about right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Anger and revenge. Mm-hmm. Take it from me. I know firsthand based on a recent discussion with a Trumpster.
Yeah. Well, also here, before we wrap up, Maggie Haberman also reported a conversation she had with Donald Trump where he said of the documents that Trump took, he said there was nothing of great urgency. And that was before he mentioned the letters that Kim Jong-un sent to him. We were so in love. And Kim Jong-un, we just loved it. It was a love affair. We spooned, we rimmed. Yeah, and it's so fucking weird to talk about his meeting with Kim Jong-un in terms like that.
He's a fanboy. He met somebody famous. He's excited about it and wants to tell you about it, that he knows. He actually knows Kim Jong-un.
Well, that would have been a better way to put it. I'm a total fanboy of Kim Jong-un. Instead, it's like he talks about it like it's a romance novel with Fabio on the cover, and he's Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, and never mind the fact you nothing important. Never mind the nuclear secrets of another country.
Right.
Yeah, I think there were a few important things in there.
Yeah. Well, he showed off those letters to so many Oval Office visitors. Advisors were concerned that he was being careless with sensitive material. Haberman writes here, quote, "You were able to take those with you?" I asked, or Haberman asked. He kept talking, seeming to have registered my surprise, and said, "No, I think that's in the archives, but..." Most of it's in the archives, but the Kim Jong-un letters, we have incredible things, he said.
And that's another Maggie quote from a year ago that she's just now sharing with us.
Right.
Oh, Maggie, I wish I'd never seen your bold face.
In fact, Trump did not return the letters, which were included in boxes he had brought to Mar-a-Lago, to the National Archives, until months later. The Washington Post reported on it in early 2022. The Justice Department began investigating how the classified material made its way in and out of the White House residence. In one of our early interviews, she writes, I had asked him separately about some of the texts between FBI agent and the FBI official working on the Robert Mueller investigation, whose affair prompted the agent's removal from the case. This is Peter Strzok, I believe. We had learned the night before Biden's inauguration that Trump was planning to make the texts public. He ultimately didn't, but he told me that Meadows had the material in his possession and offered to connect me with him. It's weird that that's a parenthetical bit of information there. That could be its own section.
I have trouble with this story because I'm as disgusted with Maggie Haberman as I am with Donald Trump in this story. I'm sorry. I know. I mean, yeah. I'm sure
you're
that
not
what
alone.
She's reporting, she's not, what she's reporting is true, and we kind of appreciate it. But, you know, again, we could have used this information some time ago.
Yeah.
What gave her the right, as a journalist whose obligation is to report news immediately, who gave her the right to sit on this for a year and then sell it for profit? I know I'm speaking for a lot of people here. I've just about had enough of her. And what she's reporting, although we hadn't heard it before, isn't a bit surprising, isn't it? We kind of knew this anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have trouble with this story from that standpoint.
It's similar to what Donald Trump did, actually. Donald Trump took documents and trying to hang on to them so that he might be able to do something with them, and maybe that explains the 43 empty folders in his office. Oh, and by the way, Tommy Christopher wanted to add here that Ron DeSantis kind of fired back at Trump a little bit. I don't know if this is in direct reaction to what Trump said, but apparently DeSantis in private said about Trump that he's a moron who has no business running for president. That's a quote, according to a former DeSantis staffer. Yes, exactly. Plus, Ken Paxton is apparently on the lam. He's the Attorney General of Texas. He was about to be served for a lawsuit having to do with the anti-abortion law in Texas. And before the process server could get to his place, Ken Paxton loaded his wife up in the truck and took off to avoid being served the subpoena.
He's the Attorney General of the state of Texas, making him the top law enforcement official next to the governor in the state.
Yeah.
And he got in a car and ran from the cops. He should have just done what Apple did and just changed his name.
Well, it's so funny here. I'm looking at the tweet from the Texas Tribune, which reported on Ken Paxton running away. And he replied to the Texas Tribune here. You know, these guys need to learn not to comment on all this shit every time it comes up.
Pity their lawyers, yes.
Oh, my God. Well, Ken Paxton replied, "This is a ridiculous waste of time. The media should be ashamed of themselves. All across the country, conservatives have faced threats to their safety, many threats that received scant coverage or condemnation from the mainstream media." See, that's gaslighting, right. First of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, that's not a denial. That's
right,
not.
Right.
He's not saying, no, I didn't do that. He's just saying, oh, this is a waste of time to report on this.
You know, we mentioned this earlier, but this is the lesson we have to learn. Don't ever let them change the subject, whether you're reporter or you're just somebody listening or doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them change the subject.
Yes.
It is our obligation to change it back to the subject.
Mm-hmm. And notice, too, that Donald Trump or any of his inner circle people, any of his representatives, any of his spokespeople, not a single one of them are denying that he stole these goddamn documents.
No.
There's not a single denial about that. There's not an objection to those charges. And that's the key to all of this. Doesn't matter if he declassified the documents with his mind through some form of telekinesis. All that matters is he thought that once he declassified these documents, that he gets to keep them. They're not his to keep.
Right.
So that's the centerpiece of all of this, and he's not denying that he kept the documents.
Get a good seat, because his supporters are hanging on by their fingernails, so you'll want to be there to watch the fall. This reminder to Republican voters, no need to go to the polls this year. Be like Donald Trump. Use his logic. Just think your vote. That's all you have to do. Skip the annoying paperwork and just think your vote. I believe, according to Trump, that's legal.
Imagine the Democrats sweeping on November 8th. And by the way, just so we're clear on this, we're, what did I say, 41 days out from the election? So that means that some early voting and mail-in voting has already begun.
Yes, it has. The election has begun.
Yes. So bear that in mind.
And it's damn close, and we're running a little behind in the House. We need to get to work.
Get your asses to the polls, as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say. Get your ass to Mars. Yeah, get your ass to the polls. Vote and do all of those things. All right, lots more to talk about here coming up on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. Again, if you sign up at BobSeskaShow.com for $5 a month, the Shadow Docket level, you have to go back to BobSeskaShow.com and listen on that website, on the Patreon page, or download the app. If you're having trouble with the app, don't cancel. DM me first. And the best way to DM me is to sign up on the Patreon page, and then you can send me all the DMs you want, and I'll see if I can help you out with the app. The apps are still the apps are still a little buggy. I almost said in an Italian accent. Keep America gay. So before, if you have trouble with the app or anything else on the Patreon page, send me a DM before you cancel. I'll help you out. Uh-huh. We'll get it fixed.
A portion of the proceeds go to the Buzz Burbank Hurricane Fund.
That's right. We'll check in with the wind speed down there in Florida here in just a second on the Shadow Docket portion of the show. Again, BobSeskaShow.com, $5 a month. We'll see you over there, folks. Take it easy. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We have to keep our country gate.
Come on.
Fade. What you thought was progress.
Seska Show.
Turn the gray sky blue.
Oh,
I can make it rain whenever I want it to.
I
can build a castle out of a single grain of sand.
Oh,
I can make a ship sail on the dry land. My life is incomplete. Better believe that I can.
Oh, I
can make the seasons change just by the wave of my hand.
I
can change anything from old to new.
Oh,
the things I want most in life, they're impossible.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.